That's Kirsten Morrell with Harry. I'm very, very lucky to be joined in studio by Kirsten Morrell herself. Kia ora, Kirsten, how are you?
Kia ora, I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming up and chatting to us about all the exciting things happening in your world at the moment.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Anytime, all good. Now, I do want to talk about Harry a little bit, but we're really here to talk about your most recent single, which came out on Friday, correct? Avignon?
Thursday,
right. Good-o. It's such a beautiful track. We're going to listen to it in a second, but it's very different to Harry, I would say, sonically. Do you agree?
Who? Harry, what? It's very different to Avignon.
Harry and Avignon are very different.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I guess. Yeah, they are.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I've heard you describe Avignon as kind of like a new form of disco almost in a way, which I definitely hear those influences in there.
Yeah. It's kind of disco with a twist.
Yeah. Cool. I want to talk a little bit about Avignon as a place and like how that came about as a place of inspiration for you for this track. Tell me about what Avignon means to you and, yeah, incorporating your French in there, how that came about.
Yeah, well, it's not straightforward, Avignon, the place. I've intercepted with it at some point. I went backpacking around Europe in my late teens, and so I've been there, but those big cities in Europe kind of lodge in my creative part of my brain, and when I'm able to write and record again, they pop back into my kind of peripheral vision or front vision, if you like, creative vision. And then and I just mused on the concept of I think it was a Voltaire poem, actually. There's a lyric in there, and as you know, it's French, blah blah blah.
Yeah, I mean, interesting you mentioning there kind of being musings on poems and stuff, because you've also mentioned there's musings on visual art as well as theatre and dance. I mean, has this sort of cross-disciplinary approach to writing always been a thing for you, or is it new to this era of your music?
No, it's really new to me because I lucked in London. I finally got into a symphonic choir and met the most amazing people with all sorts of different, you know, melange of talents. And it just influenced me so much and just inspired me. It's just come through in all the writing. It's what it is. But I'm getting to use my operatic language, which is, you know, the four operatic languages, Italian, French, German, and English, I guess. I was just lucky enough to have opportunity again to record. It happened so quickly. Just a friend in London saying permission to write, Kirsten, and it was those words. It was an emotional relief moment, I guess, because I had been back and forth from New Zealand for a few years to the UK and gone through some stuff. I lost my father a few years back, and I guess I was locked up, but I didn't know. And so when those words were delivered by someone who was, you know, really getting to know me and actually kind of... This choir is the whole scene in Europe is huge, and we're managed down to the inith, you know. So there's like eight managers and a committee and an NGO and a this and a that, and so you often get quite separated from normal day life in that scenario. So that's where I was at when my friend just went, create.
Yeah, I mean, do you find being in an environment like that where it is very managed easier to tap into your musical creativity because you're surrounded by the music all the time, or harder because it is so kind of rigid?
Good question, Rosetta. Good question. I guess I don't... a bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to be balanced and emotionally stable to be able to be compartmentist, to play instruments and come up with lyrics to begin with. But then if you're in a a performance space where you're constantly being asked questions, or you're putting out, you're just outwardly facing, then that can also trigger creativity. And for me, that happens for some strange reason very early in the morning at 2 a.m.
Oh my gosh. That makes for a rough night's sleep then, doesn't it?
Pretty annoying.
Speaking of that kind of feeling of release in terms of your creativity, I feel like that's quite true to the message of Avignon as well, in terms of encouraging people to just kind of let loose from that daily grind.
Yeah, that was the mood after lockdowns. I really got into the Fabulous London movement, which is all about sort of a revisiting of postmodernism, postmodern philosophy, and just celebrating the joyousness of life and multiculturalism, and so that's a huge theme behind this particular Disco with a Twist.
It's beautiful, because I feel like a lot of the time that feeling of joy nowadays with everything that's going on in the world kind of becomes a sort of embracing that becomes a sort of protest in itself, in terms of the personal feeling of letting go and allowing happiness and joy to come through.
I like you said that, because I've heard that lately being bandied about. I mean, I didn't write the track with that in mind, but you're right. I mean, I'm the kind of person who would easily get caught up in protesting every day and going out and saying, you know, holding their, you know, the police and, or, you know, but I mean that metaphorically. But when given, you know, the opportunity to be creative, and I guess finally I'm feeling like an artist, where I can just go, no, I'm not going to get tangled up in the dreadful things that are going on every day in my life, because really coming out, experiencing the pandemic in the UK as an English person, you know, at heart. Yes, I'm Kiwi as well, but there were confrontational things about that process that I don't think I'll be able to process until I'm an old woman, you know, in front of the fire with my newspaper that's hopefully giving better news.
I want to talk a little bit, we touched on briefly the kind of difference sonically between the singles leading up to this as well as this one, and Avignon is from your upcoming album Marillium, which release date kept a secret but on its way. What does the production process look like for you when writing and recording these songs?
It looks pretty slick these days. Like, I'm pretty organised. I know what I want. Once I've demoed my songs and I've written something, I pretty much know how I want it to roll. And I'm lucky enough now to have got a little raft of albums under my belt. So, and I know people that I want to work with, you know, that I'd love to work with, and giving opportunity to do that, it's just been really easy, because you know, real professionals working in the space and know their stuff. And yeah, I mean, someone like a collaborator like Ben King, we don't have to talk, because we've recorded three albums together now, so we just, it's like telepathy there.
That's pretty special.
Yeah, and also my producer Clint Murphy too, because he engineered Golden Horse's third album Reporter, so we've got an unspoken, you know, way of working.
Beautiful. I mean, it sounds like it's been quite the journey of a lot of personal upheaval as well as things going on in the world since Ultraviolet, your debut solo album, which is over 10 years since that came out. I mean, how does it feel looking back at that body of work versus this one coming up now?
Well, it feels like yesterday to me.
Wow.
To be honest.
Yeah.
My creativity, it's all in a row, because it's so intense. It's such an intense process.
Beautiful. I think we should listen to Avignon. It's such a beautiful track. Sure. Thank you so much for coming up and chatting with me, Kirsten. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No worries. Thank you.